Praise the Lord. Message number 43. The title of the message, Water Baptism, Part 2. Let's open our Bible to the book of Acts, chapter 22. We will read the story of the conversion of Paul and his water baptism. And we will use this story to describe more clearly the meaning of water baptism and which time we have to do it and who are the people who are eligible to get water baptized. Acts chapter 22 verse 1 to verse 21. This is a testimony of Paul to those who persecute him. He was speaking to them. Brothers and fathers, listen now to my defense. When they heard him speak to them in Aramaic, they became very quiet. Then Paul said, I am a Jew, born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city under Gamaliel. I was thoroughly trained in the law of our fathers, and was just as zealous for God as any of you are today. I persecuted the followers of this way to their death, arresting both men and women and throwing them into prison, as also the high priest and all the council can testify. I even obtained letters from them to their brothers in Damascus, and went there to bring these people as prisoners to Jerusalem to be punished. About noon, as I came near Damascus, suddenly a bright light from heaven flashed around me. I fell to the ground and heard a voice say to me, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? I asked. I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting. He replied, my companions saw the light, but they did not understand the voice of him who was speaking to me. What shall I do, Lord? I asked. Get up, the Lord said, and go into Damascus. There you will be told all that you have been assigned to do. My companions led me by the hand into Damascus because the brilliance of the light had blinded me. A man named Ananias came to see me. He was a devout observer of the law and highly respected by all the Jews living there. He stood beside me and said, Brother Saul, receive your sight. And at that very moment I was able to see him. Then he said, the God of our fathers has chosen you to know his will, and to see the righteous one, and to hear words from his mouth. You will be his witness to all men of what you have seen and heard. And now, what are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, and wash your sins away, calling on his name. When I returned to Jerusalem and was praying at the temple, I fell into a trance and saw the Lord speaking. Quick, he said to me, leave Jerusalem immediately, because they will not accept your testimony about me. Lord, I replied, these men know that I went from one synagogue to another to imprison and beat those who believe in you. And when the blood of your martyr Stephen was shed, I stood there giving my approval and guarding the clothes of those who were killing him. Then the Lord said to me, go, I will send you far away to the Gentiles. Let's pray. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. We ask you, Lord, to bless this time and with my lips and put verses and words, O God, to encourage your people and to teach the right teaching, Lord, the sound teaching, and direct the church and your servants and your ministers, O Lord, to minister to you, O God, and to serve you, to serve your people according to your will and according to your word. We do pray that the message that you send will achieve and fulfill the purpose that you send the message for. O God, I do pray, O Lord, for many who hear this message get encouraged, and those, O Lord, who have not yet baptized, they will take their stand, O Lord, to fully commit their ways and their life unto you, O God, and you will be the one to lead them in the way that you want them to be. We thank you, Lord. We bless you, Jesus. This all we ask and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Here, Paul was arrested and he was testifying. He is giving his testimony to the Jews. And part of his testimony, he speak about his previous old life, how he was against God and against his people, against the church of God, how he persecuted the believers, how he harmed the believer in the church, and also he spoke about how the Lord appeared to him and what the miracle that the Lord had done in his life. He was blinded at once by the brilliance of the light. He heard the voice of the Lord, and he heard the complaint of God against him. Why you are persecuted me? Why do you persecute me? The voice of Jesus Paul had heard, and also he spoke about how he received his sight and how he get water baptized after he received the message from Ananias, who came to see him as the Lord had commanded him, and how Ananias described to him that he is chosen by God and he is called by the Lord. And then finally he get baptized, and after he get baptized, as we have read, the Lord had commissioned him and sending him to the Gentiles, because the Jews who were in Jerusalem, they would not listen to his message. Even they knew very well how he was persecuting the church. Even they knew that the Lord had changed him, but still they are disobedient and stubborn. They don't like to believe. Now here, how we can apply this message in our life. We can see clearly here the true conversion. Paul, when he was baptized by Ananias, there is a true conversion. That Ananias know that this man is evil doer, but now he is completely changed. And that is the first thing. When we do other baptism, we must see a true changes in the life of the people. We don't do it as a ritual. We don't do it as something traditional, or people they wish, but there is no change in their life. We must see clearly true changes in their life. There must be a testimony. They testify, the people around them testify. The people who know their past, they will testify how they were. Those people are wicked, and now we witness how they are now change. You know, Paul, he asked the Lord, when he appeared to him, he told him, "What shall I do, Lord?" So here, not only he's been changed, but Lord, I am willing to do your work and your service. The Lord replied to him, "Get up and go into Damascus. There you will be taught all that you have been assigned to do." Everyone who would come to water baptism, we must observe the true changes in his life. And he must know that he is called by the Lord and he has set an assignment to do. As Paul say, and ask the Lord, "What shall I do, Lord?" Those who are going to be baptized, they must have in their heart the burden and the commitment to do to the Lord what he would ask them to do. There is assignment to every one of us, those who are coming for water baptism. You must know that, and they must know that they have assignment. They need to know, and they need to do. What else we can learn from the conversion of Paul? From the word of Ananias to him, in verse 14, then he said, "The God of our father has chosen you." Everyone coming for water baptism, he must know that he is chosen by the Lord. He is called, and as he responds to the call, he is chosen. Some people, they say that God did not choose me, or maybe God does not like to choose me, or he did not choose me. No, God called everyone, but those who are willing to follow and obey, they are chosen by the Lord. Which time the Lord will choose you? After he call you and you obey, then you are chosen by the Lord. You are chosen for what? Or those who are going to get water baptism, they are chosen by what? They are chosen for what? They are chosen to know the will of God. Everyone who is coming for water baptism, he must know that he is chosen by the Lord to know and to do the will of God. To know his will and to see the righteous one, to meet the Lord face to face through his word, and to hear words from his mouth. They must know, you must know, you who are coming for water baptism, that you are called by God, you are chosen by the Lord, you are chosen to meet the Lord and to see him face to face through his word, through the Holy Spirit, and to hear word from his mouth, a word of instruction of what you need to do, your assignment, your ministry, your calling, your service unto the Lord. It will be described to do to you fully by the Lord. You will be his witness, verse 15, to all men of what you have seen and heard. Everyone who is coming for water baptism, he must know, and we must teach him, that he will be a witness to the Lord for all the people. He will witness about what Jesus, what the Lord had done in his life. He will witness and speak what he have heard and seen in the life of the Lord. What the Lord had done to him, he will speak it. He will evangelize. He will encourage others to come out from darkness and commit their life and will unto the Lord. Verse 16, "And now what are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, and wash your sins away, calling on his name." There's here urgency not only for water baptism, but for accepting the call of God and accomplishing and performing and executing what the Lord is asking you to do. There's no need to delay or wait or postponed. As God had called you, you go forward not only to get water baptized, but to do the work of God faithfully and obeying all His commands and His decrees. In verse 17 and 18, say, when I returned to Jerusalem and was praying at the temple, I fell into a trance and saw the Lord speaking. Quick, He said to me, leave Jerusalem immediately, because they will not accept your testimony about me. What we learn from here is that the testimony of Paul will not be accepted by the Jewish. The word here is testimony. Our testimony, the people who are evildoers, who are away from the Lord, they will be upset with our testimony. They will be not only sad, but they will be also enemy to us, because we testify and our life testify about the Lord. They don't want us to follow God. They want us to go back into the old life. We should live our life unto the Lord. Our testimony will not be accepted by the evil doers, but our testimony will be an encouragement and should be an encouragement for everyone who set his heart to follow God. In verse 21, then the Lord said to me, go, I will send you far away to the Gentiles. Everyone who gets baptized, who is going to get water baptized, he must know that the Lord is sending him to go and to preach the gospel near and far to those who does not know the word of God, those who does not know Christ, His will and His plan in their life. You hear the message is the one chosen by the Lord, and God wants you not only to get water baptized, to bury your old life, to wash away your sin by the blood of Jesus and your repentance and accepting water baptism, but to hear the word from Him, to meet Him, and to be His instrument and His witness to the people who does not know Christ and know His word and His will. We find here clearly that the setup of water baptism for Paul was in the mid of his turning point from being evildoer, criminal, murderer, and living his life against God, toward a disciple, becoming a disciple Paul, a follower, obedient, and a servant of the Lord. Here we find the water baptism to bury the old life, to turn away from sin. There is repentance, there is knowing the will of God, and doing water baptism was in full acceptance by full will. Paul got baptized, and after water baptism, he was sent forth by the Lord, filled with the Holy Spirit to do the work of the God in evangelizing, making new disciples, and planting in new churches for the Lord. In the book of Acts chapter 2, after Simon Peter delivered his sermon to the Jews who came to Jerusalem for the feast of the Pentecost, after they hear the message, and we can read books of Acts chapter 2, and let's read verse 37 to verse 42, and we can see there is another incident of water baptism. Let us read this one and let us study some important points to make us realize and understand what is the meaning of water baptism and how we can apply it in the right setup at the right time with the right people. When the people hear this, they were cut to the heart and say to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. We find here very clearly that those who accepted his message were baptized. So here, the setup of water baptism was after preaching the message, and those who accepted the message, they were baptized. The people, they were willing to come out from their old religion, although that was a dangerous decision, but they were willing to follow Christ. We know that the Jews persecuted the Lord and his disciples, and even those who are newly converted, they were persecuted later on by the rest of the Jews who disobeyed the Lord and they were not willing to repent. So here we find that their water baptism was an important event. It showed their true repentance by their true commitment to follow Christ, and publicly they announced their faith in the Lord, while all the rest of their Jewish family members and friends and contact who would not believe in Christ, they might persecute him. But here we find that they stand firm with the Lord. That decision showed that they are standing firm with the Lord and his will and his word. In verse 42, those who accepted his message were baptized. In verse 42, it says they devoted themselves to the apostle teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Now here you must understand, baptism is not the end of the Christian journey, but it is just the beginning of the way. Those who get baptism, the church should continue to teach them and discipline them to continue to live in the way of the Lord. You see here, they devoted themselves to the apostle teaching. There are four things. Those who were baptized, they devoted themselves. And that is what we need to do. And that is what you need to understand. Everyone who is going to get water baptism, he need to devote himself to the four things. First, to the apostle, teaching to the sound, teaching to the teaching of the apostle. Then the apostle, they received the teaching from the Lord. And those who wrote the Bible, the New Testament, they are either an apostles or they are not apostles, but they were living among the apostles. So they are linked to the apostles. So here, not only we baptize the people and send them away, but we need to continue to teach them the apostle teaching, the sound teaching from the Bible. All the teaching we should teach them: forgiveness, giving, tithing, submission to authorities, love, family responsibilities, children responsibilities, working responsibilities, earning their living responsibilities, and the rest of the teaching of the apostles, the doctrines about Trinity, the resurrection, the second coming of Christ, the judgment, the end of times. All we have to teach those new disciples who were baptized. Second, everyone who is going to get baptized, or those who are baptized, they need to devote themselves to the fellowship. The new convert who are baptized, they need to be part of the church, the body of Christ, the family of God. They must be fully coming out from the worldly ways of life and replace their old life with the new relationship with the body of Christ and their brethren in the church. The fellowship should be concerned about edification and encouraging the members to do what is right and just, and direct them in the ways of the Lord. Why they need to be part of the fellowship? Because through the fellowship with the brethren, the brother and sister in Christ, there will be edification through teaching, correction, rebuking, encouragement, admonishment, declaring the will of God and the plan of God, counseling. All this will come through fellowship. Fellowship also involves counseling and giving the right advice. That's fellowship. Fellowship is not about food and about drinks and about parties. These are not fellowship. These are worldly things. These are worldly things. We eat with one another. They were eating with one another, according to the Bible, because they were living together. But nowadays, churches become restaurant, birthday parties and lunch and dinners. People are busy to cook food and prepare food and bring food and bring people to eat, but they are not giving the word of God and the counsel and the right advice. They are doing the secondary things, but the real fellowship, the point of fellowship, they are not meeting. The importance of fellowship is to strengthen the bonding of the brethren to one another and their unity with God and His word and purpose. Fellowship should not be based and emphasized on arranging food and eating together. That is not what is meant by fellowship. The fellowship also involves to reach those parts of the body who are not able to come with us, like those who are sick in hospitals, and those who are handicapped, who cannot move, those who are in a prison, and those who have a problem, and they have hardship and trials, and they cannot deal anymore with life pressure. We need to go to those people and have fellowship with them. We need to reach all these categories in order to fellowship with them and strengthen them so that our worship to God would be complete. So here, the another commitment of those who are newly baptized or going to be baptized is to have fellowship. And all these important points that we discuss about fellowship should be there so that our service and our life unto the Lord will be fruitful and fulfilling God's word. The third thing that the new convert or those who are newly baptized or those who are already baptized, they need to commit themselves, they need to devote themselves to the breaking of bread. And this is what we mean by the Lord's Supper, that Jesus commanded his apostles to do that when he took the Passover with them, as we can read in Luke chapter 22 verse 17 to 20, let us read this one. After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." We do the breaking of the bread because the Lord say, "Do this in remembrance of me." So we do the Lord's Supper in accordance to God's command, that we need to do this to show that we remember him and we remember his word. But we must not do that as a ritual practice and without deep understanding. It is not right to remember to do the Lord's Supper, but we are not remembering to do the rest of the commands of the Lord. Jesus did the Lord's Supper with his apostles, with his disciples. Therefore, the true disciples who are willing to follow Christ, who are willingly following God, should observe that as they are observing and obeying all the commands of the Lord. We need to observe the Lord's Supper with the disciples. We don't do the Lord's Supper with the crowd. We call the disciples, those who are true followers of God, and we do the Lord's Supper with them. Those who have not yet committed to the Lord, we don't invite them to the Lord's Supper. Jesus say in John chapter 6 verse 53 to 58, Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and you drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your forefathers ate manna and died, but he who feeds on this bread will live forever." The bread represents the body of Christ that we are taking in the Lord's Supper, represent the body of Christ, the body of Jesus, and the cup is the new covenant in his blood. Therefore, as long as we abide with Christ and his word, we are eligible to take part in the breaking of the bread. Those disciples who are devoted to the apostles' teaching are eligible for the Lord's Supper and the Lord's table. And those who are not devoted to the apostles' teaching, they are ineligible for the Lord's Supper unless they commit themselves to the Lord and his word. We should not be a traditional church who observes the Lord's table, but we don't observe the rest of the commands, and we are not observing the spiritual condition of our members. I pray that this will be clear. Those who want to follow Christ, they want to get baptized, they need to devote themselves to the apostle teaching, to the fellowship, as we explained, to the breaking of bread, and the spiritual meaning of it is that we should eat the word of God and apply it in our life, then we are eligible for the Lord's Supper. And the first point that we need to devote ourselves, or the new disciples, they need to devote themselves for, is a prayer. Prayer is the source of strength that we receive from the Lord to sustain us, and is a provision for us to face and to solve our problems. Without prayer, we cannot face the Lord, we cannot stand trial. The new disciples should get involved in a prayerful life. Prayer is our backbone to stand firm in life in serving God. Prayer is our full expression to trust in God and walk in His ways, that He will be the one to deliver us from all our troubles. The early church has passed through many hardships and was sustained through prayer. The new disciples should take prayer and petition to the Lord as the only thing that they can trust for to be sustained in life. You read the Bible, read the promises of the Lord, and pray according to the word of God. From this scripture we can see clearly that the point of water baptism, the water baptism had been done in this scripture, was at the turning point of the people from living away from God in the religion, in the tradition, in away from Christ and full disobedience, and away from believing that Jesus is the Son of God, to complete changes, coming out from the traditional religion, leaving out the old relationship and the ties for the families and the traditions, and being part of the church, the family of God. Change of attitude, change of character, fully reliance on God, full commitment and devotion to the apostle teaching, to the fellowship of the believer, to breaking of the bread, mean abiding in the word of God, and devotion and devoted to the life of prayer. I pray that the message about water baptism would be clear. It is not a ritual things we do or traditional things we do, but when there is a true conversion, water baptism is ordained by the Lord to those who are newly converted, who are willingly want to take it. The church should do water baptism in obedience to God's word and commands, and in doing this we are worshipping the triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and we praise you for your goodness and your faithfulness. Thank you for your word that give clear understanding and wisdom. We pray that the message will accomplish the purpose that you send it for, and bring you the glory and bring you the fruit that you desire to see in the life of your church and your people. Take this message, Lord, protect it and deliver it to those who are willing to hear your word. Deliver it to them at the right time. Let your message bring teaching, direction and wisdom, and instruction to your people and to your church. We thank you and we praise you. Oh God, bless us, enlarge our territory. Let your hand be with us and keep us from harm, so that we will not feel pain. May the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. In Jesus' name, Amen and Amen.